Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome to One for the Road, the podcast about running and the rest of your life. It's episode 9, and this time we get the full lowdown on Harry's first marathon experience. We discuss how my Boothbury challenge is going, there's cycling chat in abundance, and we wonder what's next for our training now there's no races on the horizon. So hello, Harriet. I can say it every time. I go, Harriet, why do I do that? Hi, Harry.
Hi, Lissy.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good too.
Tell me what you've been up to.
I, immediately after our last podcast, was quite ill after sounding really bunged up on that one. So I had a couple of days off work. So that kind of like wiped out about a week. I was just really tired. And then we went to Berlin, but we'll come on to that in a minute. What else have I been doing? Lots of working, kind of getting back to normal life after loads of holidays. So I had like 4 holidays in 5 weeks. So this week I feel like I've just been kind of getting back into a routine, which is nice.
The struggle is real.
Yeah. Oh, so many holidays. Oh, it's awful. The really fun thing I did this week was I went to a morning rave on Wednesday morning.
A morning rave? What? Explain.
So you get up really early and I had to be at Oval Space, which is this kind of gig like venue place in East London for 6:30, and then it's basically a rave but with no alcohol, so it's like sober rave. And
so they play music,
they have yoga, they have massage, smoothie bar, coffee place. This month, so it's every month. This month was circus themed, so everyone was dressed up as... I wasn't dressed up. My outfit was lame. there's lots of glitter and lots of people dressed up. And
wow.
Yeah, lots of hugging, and it's just really fun. Really good start to the day.
So then you just go to work?
Yeah, so it's really, really upsetting because every time I've been, this is my third time I've been, you kind of have to leave at 8:30 and then go into the office. And I'm like, I just want to stay and rave all morning.
Yeah, is it not just a bit of a come down?
Yeah.
It's like, oh... No, I'm at my desk.
The first time I went, I was on such a massive high when I got to work. I was like, I've had the best morning ever.
I feel like I'd be worn out. By like 10 o'clock, I'd be like, need to have a nap.
Yeah,
I've had a night out.
The coffee they serve there is very strong.
They like know it.
Yeah.
It's not alcohol you need.
No, it's rocket fuel. No, that was good.
Awesome.
How about you?
Well, we obviously had Berlin, which took up a lot of time.
Mm.
So the last couple of weeks after the marathon, I have been... kind of recovering, using it as a lot of excuse for not doing anything really and eating a lot. And typically work has been really hectic, so I've been to lots of work related things, saw lots of theatre, which was fun. But I feel like I got some itchy running feet now. The 2 weeks it's been enough.
You run since the marathon?
I've done 3 miles on Thursday, so only like 2 days ago. And I thought we were going really fast. And then afterwards I came off it and looked at the thing and was like, oh, actually not at all. And I'm just a bit worn out. So it must take longer to feel better than you realise, I think.
Yeah, I think it's a good few weeks of recovery required.
Yeah, I definitely feel like, even now, I still don't feel 100% back to normal. But that was awesome. I've done a few little things. Like Thursday after the run, we went to 26 Grains, which is a porridge cafe, which apparently is a trendy new thing to do.
Mm.
It was pretty good. I had salted caramel.
Oh, salted caramel porridge?
Yes, with like pears, pistachios, sesame seeds. The sesame seeds are a little bit weird. but then just the biggest bowl of porridge. It's pretty good.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And I've also been doing a lot of cycling.
Yes.
So, spoken about this so many times.
Yeah, but now, like, you know, you're doing it.
Now I'm doing it. So the cycling, what's it called? MTS on Strava.
What's it called? MTS? Not sure. I keep thinking it means meters, but it clearly doesn't.
I don't actually know what that stands for.
Training Strava Challenge.
Yeah.
That'll do.
The how many kilometres can you cycle in 1 month challenge on Strava. And the first badge you get is 250k, so I'm just trying to hit 250k in 1 month. And it's the 10th of October today, and I'm on 135k already. So that's going really well.
You are bossing it.
So this is what I mean about routine. So I've kind of got into a really good routine this week of cycling every day into work. And got loads of new winter gear. And yeah, I asked on Twitter for some recommendations of what I'd need for winter cycling, and everyone was like, good socks and good gloves. So I got those.
Is this your first winter cycling?
Yes, first winter cycling. So
yeah, I've never.
It's dark and cold. Not even that dark. Yeah, I've got really good lights. So that's fine. And now I'm on 135k already. I'm wondering if I can actually hit 500k in a month. But I've just worked out that would mean averaging 17 kilometres a day for the rest of the month. And my commute is 10k round trip. So, not sure how that's going
to
work.
Might have to
do some long weekend cycles. But we have got one of those planned in, so...
That's true. And today, we've been cycling around town today.
Yes, we've done 17k today already, so...
Today, I indicated left strongly. My advancements in cycling are astonishing. And only had one or two altercations.
Yeah.
And they weren't massively my fault.
No, we got hooted at, but I would say I get hooted at probably at least twice a week.
Really?
Yeah. People just don't like cyclists, especially in London, so...
It does feel at the moment there's like a bit of hostility towards it. I know. As a very novice cyclist, it makes me feel very nervous. Like, I feel like it's my fault. So it was nice that both you and Charlie were there and could advise me on what I should have done. And anyway, it actually wasn't... Like, it wasn't me necessarily. No.
I react to being hooted at by either being angry or being really sarcastically, like, lovely about it. Like, oh, hello, yes, thank you. Like,
hiya.
Yeah, just giving them, like, a massive wave and a massive smile and being like, oh, and then, yeah, just riding off. I think that's probably the best way. I don't think anger's usually the way.
No, not at all. I've seen too many of those angry cyclist YouTube videos. No.
Well,
we should talk about Berlin.
Yes, we definitely should.
Berlin in general is awesome. I felt like the second we got there, I was perfectly at home. It felt like London, but it wasn't. It was so cooler, so much more relaxed. There's just such a good atmosphere to it.
That was one of
this is like your second home, I feel. You've been
out
many times.
Yeah, it was one of the best weekends in a long time. I kind of thought before I went, oh, maybe I'm going to get a bit bored of it now. And it was my best trip to Berlin, yeah, I think.
Oh, yay! I'm so pleased I was there for that.
Yeah, it's just such a cool place. Yeah, I really wanted to move there, but unfortunately, the reason it's so cool and so, like, laid back is the fact that there's pretty much no business there. You know, it's just full of creatives, and I'm not creative, so...
I don't know, I feel like we could take this podcast on tour.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was good. We had some good food. Really good food.
I feel we could write a very good recommendations for, like, beer... And meat,
lots of good meat, amazing meat platter.
I'm
one
pleased,
day
because I thought I haven't been to Germany for a very long time, and I was expecting, you know, that we were going to have to eat a lot of currywurst and schnitzel.
Yeah, and, I was and so sauerkraut.
Happy. Yeah, and I was very happy to discover there's such a good food scene. So much like we had
no currywurst actually.
No, which I probably should have tried the currywurst, but I think that's okay. Had schnitzel. I tried some schnitzel. Didn't like that either.
No. I think we did better than
yeah. That's the so like fine. We had really awesome Korean, really awesome noodles. That meat thing,
yeah,
just barbecue
platter
meat.
Of meat, which we've got an amazing picture of.
It's just you dwarfed by meat.
Yeah, meat in one hand, beer in the other.
Yeah.
I was like, this is why I love Berlin. What else did we? Yeah, I think that was good.
I
went to a vegan restaurant one day for lunch, which I was a bit like, oof, vegan, having had so much meat. But yeah, that was good too.
It seemed like there were quite a few around actually. Foursquare were throwing a lot up. I really enjoyed using Foursquare for like navigating a new city.
Yeah,
that and the fact they had City Mapper there.
Yeah, Foursquare was good for giving us good coffee shops and good cake. Ate a lot of cake too. Kind of did like a little cake and coffee tour one afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
That was nice.
Ah, the TV tower.
Oh, yeah, we went to the TV tower.
I'd recommend that. The view was awesome. And it was such a clear day.
Yeah, and a lot of walking.
The roller coaster park.
Yeah, there's an abandoned theme park in Berlin, and it used to be able that you could walk around it. The fence has gone up very recently, I think.
Really?
And it was quite far away from where I was staying. Made some
post-marathon.
Post-marathon. Made some people walk quite far to it.
It was worth it.
It was good. There was a Ferris wheel there, and it's still going round and round in the wind, and it's squeaking, and it was really eerie. And especially as we got there kind of like at dusk.
It was twilight, and I was thinking, I was like, this is where like horror films start.
Oh, it was so good. I was like, guys, let's jump the fence. Let's jump the fence. No one was quite as keen
there's
as
no
me
way.
To jump the fence.
After the marathon, there's no way I could have climbed over a fence.
Oh, yeah. And also the beware, there's guards and guard dogs.
Yeah, they did. There was definitely at least a fox roaming around.
The fox is going to get us.
But I did look at the blog after. The photos are incredible. There's like dinosaurs and loads of roller coasters. Mm. Like, and I can't believe what you were saying about the debt that place was left in.
Yeah, so it's a theme park that one day just closed and never opened again, and it hasn't been touched since. So it's just left as if it is.
Like, it literally looks like they just walked out the door.
Yeah,
they were like, "Shit, we
and it's like and I'm really obsessed with abandoned buildings and things like that. And it, yeah, it's just creepy as hell.
Yeah, it was cool. They need to do. They need to open it up for tours, definitely.
Especially at that time of
maybe day. That's what we can start as a job.
Yeah, we're gonna buy this and leave it abandoned.
Yeah, and then just take people on tours.
What if you have to take on their, what was it, like 18 million euro worth of debt as well? Mm,
that'd be annoying.
Like, no, not so interested. So whilst we were out there, I did a little bit of recording, kind of like on the run style-y, but I wasn't actually running.
Yeah, because I was too busy running to think about recording.
In these clips, I mostly just say great a lot and
you were having a good time.
Say how amazing the weather is.
You were high on life.
I was high on life. So it's across the weekend, didn't do much at the actual race, and then I spoke to Harry a bit afterwards. So we'll play these now and then come back and talk about the race some more.
Okay.
So hello, it's Lissy. I've just touched down in Berlin. It's a Saturday morning before the marathon. It's an absolutely gorgeous day here in Berlin. It's blue skies, sunshine, nice and cool. I think it's going to be perfect running and exploring conditions this weekend, which is great. I'm just on my way to the expo now. I'm heading to the metro as I speak. Probably one for debate at a later time, but I'm going to pick up my marathon place, which I'm not using. Someone else might be potentially a bit controversial. And then after I've been to the expo, which I'm not looking forward to because it's always really busy, I'm off to meet Harry. So speak to you later. So now it's the Sunday morning. It's the morning of the marathon. You can probably hear Berlin starting to kind of wake up around me. So there's like the U-Bahn and I'm quite next to a main road. Harry's already left the flat to go to the start pen and I'm just leaving to go meet Steph. To go to our first cheer point at 8 kilometres. So that is, I'm so looking forward to it. This is going to be such a good day. And as I said yesterday, the weather is absolutely beautiful and it's gorgeous again this morning. It's probably even better than yesterday. It's nice and chilly, but it's beautifully sunny. I think it's absolutely perfect marathon conditions. So I couldn't be more happy for Harry that she's getting to see Berlin on such a beautiful day. So this is going to be such a good day. Hello, so we're walking down the street in Berlin and it's Sunday evening. It's actually a pretty lovely evening as well. This is a theme through all of the things I've recorded. I just keep saying how lovely the weather is.
The weather is good.
And yay, I'm here with Harry now.
Yay.
And she's now running a marathon. Harry, how was today?
It was cool. It was amazing. It feels like it's gone into a total blur. I can't believe it's a bit overwhelming. Can't believe I've done it, really. Yeah, you feel a bit like, you're like, oh yeah, that is what I did this morning. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, don't know how I felt. It was felt quite different when it was happening.
Yeah.
I definitely know it was happening. It is so hard. I feel like I have such a new appreciation for people who run marathons. And I don't know, it's funny how much the difference you notice between the half and the full. And how...
Yeah. Yeah, it's quite a long way, isn't it?
At 13, I was like... this is fine. 13's great.
This is a nice distance.
Yeah, I was like, why have I now got to do another 13? But I feel like lots of things really worked in my favour. The weather was good. It was pretty busy at the start, but it really thinned out and I was able to find my pace. And I'm really happy with my time. Like, I didn't even know what to expect. So
I think your time is amazing. It's yeah, so good. For first marathon, it's super speedy. Well, yeah, even for like half marathon. It was super speedy. So
I think it's a very flat course. It definitely works. It's good.
Yeah. Did you find the temperature okay today? Because even just in jeans and a t-shirt, I thought, yeah, it's quite warm. It's quite warm today.
It was very hot. And it was hot. We were lucky that they obviously didn't plan it like that, but there were lots of elements where you could go into the shade. And I really did spend the whole time scouting for shade. And lots of downhills. Oh, they've gone over there.
Okay. Oh, we're just walking down the street trying to find a bar. Oh, we found our bar now.
Yes.
Yeah.
More garbled marathon.
Yeah, let's have a drink and then do some more chatting. That'll be fun. You'll be pleased to know we didn't go back and then record some more drunken marathon chat. So let's talk about the race some more in the podcast instead. Okay, let's talk about the race some more. How was the race?
The race was... God, I have such mixed views of it. It was, I thought, because it was in Germany, maybe I'm living up to a lot, I'm believing in a lot of stereotypes, that it would be like the most uber efficient start I had ever seen. And yeah. Of course, I turned up to like 100 mile long queues for the bathroom, to so many people crammed into tiny roads that you felt quite suffocated by it. And I think probably, actually, no, that's definitely the most crowded race I've ever been in. And it probably is the biggest race I've done, but I was so aware that I couldn't even stand up properly while waiting to start. So that was stressing me out quite a lot. So I was like, I can't even like tie my shoelace, let alone.
Oh, wow. That is like, crowded.
And well, I kind of had to. So we ended up queuing for a bathroom for an hour. I was with my friend Owen, who we were staying with. And so the plan was that we'd like go to the bathroom, and we were in the same wave. So we're like, we'll go get in the wave together. We weren't planning to run together, but it was kind of like, we'll get set up. Of course, we were in this queue for the whole time, before, from when we turned up to when the race was starting. So the first waves were heading off and we were in one of the last waves. So we were walking, you had to walk quite far from where the bathrooms were in the main area to over to the start line. And again, still, it was just so full. I think the point, because we were getting there quite late, everybody else had already funneled in. So we were around the like 4.5 hour pacer. And then Owen decided he needed to go to the bathroom again, so decided to climb over the fence and find these bathrooms down the side. And I was then stood kind of huddled on my own, like, oh, it's so busy. And people kept jumping the fence and running down the side, and I thought, that's what I'm going to do. I decided I wanted to get a bit further ahead, because I thought, if I'm here now, I might just get a bit stuck. So I climbed over a fence, which is definitely unlike me. And said, and was like basically hollered at Owen that I'd see him, we'd see him further down, and did a bit of a quick run down to the further down. I managed to find the 4:15 pacer, but to get back in, because it was even more crowded, so there was no room.
You know that,
yeah, you know, like when you're at a festival and you're trying to get to the front, it was like that. So I was just like, there was no space next to the barrier, and I was like, can I climb in? And he just looked at me like, where are you going to climb in? I was thinking,
to where? But it's like when people try and get on the tube, they're like, can you move down, please? And you're like, to where?
I basically climbed onto him and kind of stood a little bit on his foot while we wait before we started. And luckily, like, as they started to set the waves off, which was a good 15 minutes worth of people being released, well, no longer, like half an hour, I managed to like get myself into the natural group of people. Poor Owen, I never found him again. He was all right, he was gone. And but once you actually get to the start point, it thins, and everybody's thinned out. And I found that I was fine. I did set off quite quickly, and no matter how much I told myself to slow down, I was still going at a bit. Because, of course, in my head, I was like, okay, I'm feeling comfortable, just stay at this pace. Owen caught me up, which was really nice. So we spent a couple of K running together. I saw you and Steph.
Yeah.
Screaming at me, which was amazing. And I saw my mum and dad a bit further along. Like, it was brilliant. I saw everybody who I was supposed to see on the course. And it wasn't really until probably like 15 miles that I saw it was the end of being with Owen. We'd had a really nice in pace together. And then he made some comment like, we're going at a really good pace. I'd love to keep this up for the rest of the thing. And I thought, yeah, this is a really good pace. I want to keep this up. And then he said what time we were on for. And I went, oh, that's a lot faster than I should be. And it kind of put this seed in my mind.
Yeah. It's like, if you hadn't known that, you probably would have been okay.
I know, but, you
because
know.
Because we were tracking both of you, and we could tell that you were together at one point, because your times were exactly the same. And we were like, oh, it looks like they must be, like, right next to each other. And then
slowly
kind of, like, drifted apart again. And we were like, oh, they're not together anymore.
Well, I really went, right, I was like, okay. And it was a bit of that thing of like famous last words feeling. So I put my headphones in and then had to go to the bathroom. So I spent about the next 5K being like, should I go to the bathroom yet? No, wait for the next one, wait for the next one. Talking myself around to whether I should go or not.
Managed Were there to do a lot that. Of bathrooms on the on
Yeah,
route?
There was a lot of water, a lot of bathrooms, water in cups, which was annoying. Mm. And some sort of power, like a Lucozade type other brand. But meant that in cups, so people were drinking it and then chucking it, so the floor was really sticky and it was getting hot, so I was like, is the concrete melting? Like, what's going on with the tarmac? And they did have fruit. I didn't really see enough of the fuel, I would say. And I think Owen said that there wasn't, he was using it and it didn't feel like there was enough. But on the whole, the facilities were good and regularly, like, and when I got to the toilet, it was free, there wasn't a queue.
Oh, that's good.
So that was lucky. And then it was like, once I was back on the course, I found the last kind of 10k really hard, and I really did have to like bribe myself. There was a lot of just get, and I knew you guys were going to be really near the end, so in my I just kept thinking, if I got to you, then I didn't like, then the end, it was only a tiny bit after that. And the last 5k was the hardest bit ever. Like, the last 5k I was like, I just don't want to do this anymore. I've just it just really hurts.
And yeah, so we were at 37k and kind of just appeared in front of us. We were like really looking down the road, like, because we were on a corner so we could see people come around the corner. It was quite a good place. And then all of a sudden you're just in front of us, and all you did was point at Steph and like, I come with me, like,
yeah,
action.
I was like,
and
I
was
I like, need
okay
you.
Bye.
Well, she'd been great. She'd said, you know, I'll wear my trainers if you need company, like, I'll come with you. I think I was at the point, because I got so fixated in my head that I was going to see you both, I was a bit like, I just need someone. I don't need, like, it's a bit like I just needed that extra confidence that someone was there. Because it's stupid, really. Like, you know, she can't run it for me.
No, but it gets quite lonely after a while.
Yeah, I think I got to that point where I was getting a little bit stir crazy with it.
But, like, really, even in life, you don't spend 4 hours on your own very often.
No.
Like, at all. So, even though you're running along with people, you're not on your own, but you're kind of, like, not talking to anyone for 4 hours. You're just a bit like,
And that thing of like, I felt like I thought of all the things I could think about.
Yeah, I'd exhausted my list of interesting things.
Yeah, I'd admired the views. I'd, like, you know, like, done all the things. I looked at all the other people's outfits.
I would imagine by the end, like, the last 5K isn't like the most scenic part of the race either.
No, and of course it's a lot of like out and back. Mm. And
we're just squeezing the end in.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. They do that thing where they just look like, just do this corner, and then they'll loop round here. It's quite an entertaining finish. Like, it's true that what everyone says, because they have the Brandenburg Gate, it's really iconic, it's awesome, but you're running towards it, you turn a corner and you're running towards, firstly, an inflatable tunnel. So you're like, oh, the inflatable tunnel must mean the end. No. Then you're like, oh, Brandenburg Gate, that must be the end. No. And what's bad about the Brandenburg Gate is that you actually run over a finish timing.
I think
it
must be at 40k.
It's 40k. Which, of course, my watch also had, I'd obviously done some weaving and I was clocking up a bit more. So it did, when I crossed that, I was a little bit like, this technically for me is nearly the finish, but it's not. So that last bit on cobbles after the Brandenburg Gate was really brutal. And every photo of marathon photos are from then, you know, the official marathon.
Oh, yeah.
And I am, in all of them, either have my eyes shut or I'm gritting my teeth. You can see the determination of just like,
just keep moving. I saw a lot, because I, after 37K, went to Brandenburg Gate to wait for everyone, and I saw a lot of people running towards it with their hands in the air, like, yeah, finish. And then they were, obviously, I didn't.
It was so mean.
Yeah. The other side going, oh, not the finish.
They need a sign up there that says nearly 100, like, 2K to
I
go.
I imagine by that point as well, some people aren't aware of how far it is. There's,
you get to that blind point. Exactly. You just want it to finish. It's weird. I did, you know, I came out at the end being really like, oh, it's really far. I never want to do that again. Oh, like, you know, this was crazy. And it's typical, as with every race, your mind forgets the hard bits and remembers the good bits. And I did, on the whole, enjoy it. And I do still like running. And I think I really like half marathons. But I'm not ever going to say I'm never going to do a marathon again. Particularly because I was happy with my time, but I think I can do better. And so that might, because I think my pacing strategy went a bit haywire. Mm. I'm a little bit like, oh. It's exactly what I did with half marathons as well. I did my first half marathon, misjudged my pacing, so then had to do another one to make sure I could do it. So there might be a bit of that in it.
But definitely haven't, like, got a new marathon in mind.
No, yet. I know I haven't. And I had forgotten that I'd signed up, you know, like, put in for the London ballot, of course, because you do. And when the magazine came through, and then, okay. I was like, Oh, okay, good. It was definitely, it was like relief twinged with a tiny bit of disappointment.
Yeah, because for London, you'd probably have like a month off and then you'd have to start training
again. I think
it's quite soon.
And I still feel that I actually prefer summer training to winter training. I'm already starting to be aware of how dark it is in the morning. So, I'm still
walking. I've already got to the point now where I'm like, oh, it's so nice and cold and dark in the evenings. And I kind of walk home or bike home and I'm like, this is good running weather.
Do you like it?
Yeah,
we're so like the opposites that way. But maybe we can agree on like spring.
Spring, I think it's because I started running in winter because I didn't want to go out in the light. It's that thing, I didn't want anyone to see me. So now it kind of reminds me of that's when I
You're associated with that. But I am really excited for next weekend. I'm doing... So it's Battersea Park. It's called... It's a 5K, 10K. And I think you don't actually sign up for what distance you're doing. Well, I can't remember specifying on the form whether I was doing a 10K or a 5K.
Oh, okay.
So I have a feeling that it's one of those ones where you can choose. Ah. So we might just see how it goes.
Two laps and you just decide after the first lap.
I think so. I wonder if you have to tell them beforehand. But I kind of thought that that might be a nice way to get back into like running generally.
So I have a few questions about Berlin.
Okay.
Things we've spoken about before.
Hit me.
How were the new shorts?
Oh, amazing.
Because these were the ones with like the tight under shorts fit. And I didn't wear those. We've got exactly the same pair.
Oh, right.
I didn't wear them for my marathon because I thought I'd get a bit hot. But
yeah, it was hot generally. The temperature was just about right. It was heating up by lunchtime. But I had zero chafing. And I find them really, really comfortable. I like the kind of that they have a tight bit and then a loose bit over them. Mm. Kind of makes me feel a bit more covered.
And trainers?
Oh, trainers were okay. I have lost two toenails in the process.
Were they both from the race?
Yeah. So I haven't had any blisters from those shoes up until the race. And actually, from probably about halfway, I could feel my shoes rubbing. And I was thinking, this is really annoying. Mm. I've worn these every training run since I started, and now they rub. And they gave me like side toe blisters and then under toe blisters on my second toe. So my big toe is fine, but the next toe on both feet. I think they're a little bit narrow around my toes. Or maybe when I'm running, my toes are being pushed forward and like pushing against the front. So I don't know. But then they're definitely so nice for being how light and bouncy they are.
Yeah.
Compared to my other shoes, but my old pair.
Yeah. So it's not lost toenails, not great.
No, so my toes look pretty gammy right now.
Nice.
I don't really know what I'm going to do. I wore glasses for a bit, but now I've just given up on that.
And
I'm going to paint my toes.
Most important question, obviously. Could you relate to the free bleeding marathon runner?
Luckily, I didn't have to address the situation.
Okay, good.
It wasn't the time. I still don't think I would have done it, though, because more for the point of, like, would it have not been that would have encouraged chafing?
Yeah,
like,
I think so.
Like, moisture.
But you wouldn't have turned up and been like, I can't do it today.
No, exactly. No, I think it was a bit like health or leather. I was like, you're going to have to drag me away from doing that.
Yes.
It's been too long. I need to just do it. But yeah, I feel very, I'm very proud. It's strange.
Yes, you should be.
I think you get normalised to these things when you know so many people who run frequent marathons and do ultra running, and you don't appreciate the kind of achievement of it. And probably because I've spent the last 2 weeks hanging out with people who don't do so much running, and lots of people at work, and lots of people have commented on it, that you do appreciate that you are doing something incredible and that running isn't something that everybody does.
26 miles is a long, long way to run.
I ran to Norwich, everyone. That means nothing to the majority of the population.
Yeah, not from London.
Yeah. If you live in Norfolk, I ran from Trimmingham to Norwich.
Yeah, it's a long way.
Yeah, it is a long way. So yeah, it's cool. It's very, very cool.
Next up, enough of that running chat. Let's have some life chat. So it's an update on No Alcohol October, and I have a chat with my friend Jenny, who is also not drinking in October. So we had a little Skype session and chatted about all things alcohol free. So I'm on the phone with Jenny, and she's on with me because we're going to talk about not drinking, because in the last episode we spoke about how I wasn't going to drink for October, and I found someone else that's doing the same thing, which is exciting.
Yay!
So if you don't mind, do you want to tell us why you have decided to do this challenge in October?
Yeah, of course. So I've actually done this a couple of times before. And both times I've done really well for the first 2 to 3 weeks, and then I've usually given up. So this time I thought, I'll try again, see if I can do it, see if I can make it till the end of the month. But the main reason for doing it is because I generally drink quite a lot. It's really kind of integrated into my lifestyle. And the other times I've done it before, it's more been kind of a punishment to myself, like, oh, you're drinking too much, you're not going to drink this month. Like, but this time I'm looking at it a lot differently. And usually when I try and give up, I do it for other reasons, financial reasons and things like that as well. And I basically just don't do anything for the whole month.
Yeah.
Don't see friends, just avoid it all. Whereas this time, because I do want to kind of change my lifestyle a little bit and make it less of a habit, I'm trying to kind of embrace it and still carry on as normal and do the things I would usually do, but just without drinking. So I'm going to a party tonight, a fancy dress party. And I don't think I've ever been in fancy dress sober before. So yeah.
Oh yeah, that's quite a challenge.
Yeah. So, but it's quite good because it's only in, I live in Walthamstow, and it's only down the road, and it's a joint 30 for a couple of friends. So it's just in a pub. So, you know, it's nothing too crazy. And if I am really feeling uncomfortable, then at least I can just go home.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
So yeah, we're 10 days in now. How are you finding it so far?
Yeah, I mean, I think compared to the other times I've done it, I'm finding it easier. I still find it really difficult, but I think I'm finding it easier this time. And I think it is because I'm not just not doing anything. I'm kind of still going out and seeing friends. Like after work last night, I went for a few drinks, which I would usually do.
Yeah, I found that as well. Like I think in the past when I've tried to do it or when I've done it, I've like combined loads of stuff together.
Yeah.
So it's been like, oh, I'm doing a massive healthy eating kick and I'm not drinking and I'm doing loads of exercise. So it's like all at once and it's just like too extreme.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, I've been to the pub a couple of times and I found a pub that did non-alcoholic beer, which I was really happy about because then it like made me feel like I was still joining in.
Yeah. So, exactly. How have you found other people's reactions to it then?
I think other people are probably the biggest problem. I don't really mind being around people that are drinking, and even if I'm going like out to a club or something, I could dance without needing to be drunk. Like I was saying earlier how I went to a sober rave on Wednesday morning and I find that fine. I can just go in and start dancing and I don't feel too conscious about it, but it's other people have like a massive problem with it. It's really weird.
Yeah, I think part of it is, and I know this from when I'm usually drinking, if I go out with, well, it depends which friends it is, because some of my friends like don't really drink anyway, so then it doesn't bother me. But my friends that are usually my kind of drunk friends, when they're giving it up or they're trying to drink less and I'm not, I'm kind of like a bit put out as well. And I think a lot of it is because it makes you feel more guilty that you are drinking. So you're like, no, come on, join me, and then I won't feel as bad.
I feel like everyone's really suspicious.
Yeah. I think it's so ingrained within the British culture, and I know in my lifestyle it is as well. Like all my workmates drink, my family drinks quite a lot, my boyfriend drinks quite a lot. So it's so kind of part of everything that we do. Like if we go to a museum, we'll then also be followed by, we'll then go to the pub for 3 hours. So it's kind of a strange thing. Like I still want to obviously go out and do stuff, but it'll be interesting to see what happens when I decide like after this month to start drinking again, because I don't think I want to give it up completely, but it'll be interesting to see if this time I just go straight back to my old habits like I have done the other times, or whether I kind of change my mind a little bit on it.
I think that will be interesting.
Which, you know, that was the aim, so we'll see.
I think it's a big thing about like the culture, like you said, because I was talking to someone the other day from Spain and she was saying the thing she really misses about being in the UK is that there's not that, like if you're in Spain, you can go to a cafe and it serves alcohol, but it also serves coffee and you can kind of like do either. And it's just kind of more chilled out. Like someone can have a glass of wine if they want one, or coffee.
Yeah.
And there's no like, right, we're going to the pub and all you can do in the pub is drink booze and that's what everyone's doing. It's a lot more kind of chilled out, which I wish there was more places like that around, I think.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a good thing. I mean, I'm quite lucky because I've got friends from both sides, which is probably why, you know, if I didn't have any friends, or my sister, for example, she doesn't really drink. If I didn't have anyone like that in my life, I probably wouldn't even bother doing things like that. But I think when I see them, I think, oh, like, I wish I could be a bit more like them. So I guess this is me trying to do that.
So have you seen any benefits yet? I don't think I have after only 10 days, apart from maybe getting a bit more sleep because I'm just like not doing anything else in the evening.
Yeah, it's weird, but like, I don't know, it's weird because a lot of people when they give up drinking says like they feel amazing and stuff, but I don't really feel like it makes me feel that much difference. I mean, obviously at the weekend, it's nice to wake up without a hangover, but I only generally seem to get hangovers when I drink really excessively rather than just my normal amount that I drink. But yeah, that's quite nice. And I would have thought I was going to get more done, but like today I just still got up late and kind of lazed around the house all day. So I don't know how much difference it's made there. But yeah, I think my concentration's maybe a little bit better.
Yeah, I found that actually at work, but I think that's because I'm getting more sleep as well, because I tend to drink quite a lot at home in the week with my housemates, but because I've been getting like a solid 8 hours, I get to work and I'm like, I've been really productive today. I think that's a really good thing, but I'm hoping it gets like more, like I feel more of the benefit as it goes on.
Yeah, exactly. I think I felt a little bit of a benefit with running actually, but that's kind of a weird thing because I've been injured recently and a lot off and on with the same problem. And I had started running again in the last, well, pretty much since I gave up drinking. I was like, right, well, now I'm not drinking, I'll start running again. And this time I'm building it up really, really slowly in the hope that my injury doesn't start to come back again. But I was really surprised. So I've run 3 times now, and each one of them, I've only been doing 5Ks, but like they've been quite fast for me, like probably faster than what I was doing just before I got injured, or at least a similar pace, which I was really surprised because I thought I was going to be terrible.
Yeah, really sluggish.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's got anything to do with not drinking. I think it might do.
Yeah.
Or it might just be because I've rested for so long, but yeah, that was quite...
Yeah,
that was
definitely.
A bit of a surprise.
There's a lot to be said for being well rested with running, I think.
Yeah, totally. I'm all for the rest.
Yeah. Cool. Well, good luck with the rest of the month. And
thank you.
Especially your fancy dress party this evening.
Yeah. Well, I've got a few more things going on this month that'll be quite challenging.
Yeah, me too. I've got like a work event on Friday, so that's going to be my first big challenge, I think.
Yeah, that'll be harder work thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got, next weekend I'm going for dinner with a friend who me and her usually drink quite a lot together. And my boyfriend's coming as well. So them two will be drinking together all night. Mm. I won't be. So that'll be interesting. But then for me, the hardest challenge is the following week. I've got a couple of days off work and me and my boyfriend are going up to his parents' house. And they drink quite a lot. And usually the first thing we do when we get there is his dad makes us a drink.
Yeah.
And we all sit around and chat, and the whole kind of everything that we do with them generally revolves around drinking. And then we're going to see like a couple of friends we haven't seen for a while we're up there and stuff. So that'll be, because it's a long weekend and it usually would always revolve around drinking. That's going to be a challenge because it's not just one party. It's like four days of trying to sustain. But if I can do it then, you know, I'll be absolutely fine to make it till the end of the month. So that's going to be my biggest challenge, I think. So we'll see.
Yeah, cool. Okay, well, thank you very much for talking to me.
Oh, no, thank you, and good luck to you too.
All right, cool. Thank you.
See ya. Bye.
So what's next?
I don't know. What is next?
Where are we now? Well, next weekend I'm doing a 10 or 5K, depending on what mood it takes me in. But it's around Battersea Park and you get a Battersea Power Station medal.
Oh, I've done that one. That
Have
medal's
you?
Good.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, cool. Good medal.
I hear there's
they had good flapjack.
Yes. Excited for that.
We both went, flapjack.
Oh, so yeah. That's why we're friends. Good. What are you doing next?
I'm still on my racing detox until January. I actually got offered a Royal Parks place this week and turned it down, which really pained me.
Well done.
Because it's tomorrow. But
I think
that's for the best. It's a really nice race, but I don't need to run a half marathon tomorrow.
No.
So that's fine.
And it will always be there.
Exactly. So yeah, just doing lots of cycling, trying to hit 500k now, apparently.
Hitting your MDS target.
Yeah. Good. Oh yeah, we need to look up what that stands for. Do you know what that stands for? Yeah, on Strava. Even people that use Strava don't know what it stands for.
No, and they're like serious Strava users. It's pondering.
We're going to find that out.
We'll put
it on the show notes.
Someone's going to clearly know and tweet us that. How can you tweet us?
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
You can do it this time.
I can't remember it though. So our Twitter is OFTR podcast, and you can tweet Lissy at Lissy Runs.
Yes.
You should probably update that to like Lissy runs a bit but cycles a lot or something.
Yeah, like that.
And
I am actually going to change that to something else because yeah, I'm not really running at the moment.
I like it. I mean, it can mean running in many ways. And you can get me at Harry Cap.
Yes.
I love the way I'm looking at you to tell me if that's right.
Every time we do this.
I know. And I am still kind of on some sort of... I've forgotten the login still, so...
Okay, so digital detox is going well then.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I am back on Instagram though. So you can get me on Instagram, like Instagram. Harry Dalt. But that's it for this time. So we'll probably see you in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully I'll see you in real life a bit sooner.
Yeah.
Cool. See you soon.
Bye.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.